رحمك يا رب، رحمك يا رب العباد رجائي ورضاك قصدي، استجب لي دعائي. رحمك يا رب العباد رجائي ورضاك قصدي، فاستجب لي دعائي. وحماك أبغي يا إلهي راجيا منك الرضا، فجد بولائي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم to our viewers and a very warm welcome. This is a show where we try and expand on those burning issues that you have, and we want to do it in a way that your eyes are glued to the screen throughout the duration of the program, however long it be. And to do this, well, it's only feasible through our experts. And the panel of experts today, we have Sheikh Amin Rastani and Sheikh Sayyid Kazmi. And Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And our very interesting question today is going to be about a topic that you guys have all been through. It's a topic that's a seemingly irresistible force that pushes people to do things that they wouldn't have done if it didn't exist. Yes, it's the topic that you guys all have in mind. It's peer pressure. And so we're going to go into the first question with Sheikh Amin. Sheikh Amin, how can we solve peer pressure? How do we deal with it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, the first way you put it wasn't good. The second way you put it was good. You can't solve it, really. You can deal with it in different ways. But yeah, you can't solve it, unfortunately. One of the worst things on the face of this earth is peer pressure. And I have to say, you really rose the bar in the beginning, saying that you want the people's eyes to be glued to the screen. That makes our job hard. So, about peer pressure and dealing with peer pressure. First, let me define peer pressure, what I'm going to be talking about. I don't know, you can't really say this is the definition of peer pressure. No, I'm just saying that peer pressure, what I mean when I say peer pressure is a non-physical pressure or force that drives us to do things, okay? Let it be because out of fear of, you know, being mocked or others making fun of us, etc. Nothing physical, though. If it gets physical, you know, you got to go to the authorities for that, right? So that's just very general, peer pressure. You know, peer pressure usually happens, as the term denotes, peer. Pressure coming from your peers. From classmates, whether it be friends, etc. Now, dealing with peer pressure. Okay, when it comes to dealing with it, first of all, yeah, as I said, you can't avoid it. It's going to be there. If you're going to school, it's going to happen. All right. Unfortunately, it's going to happen for sure, and especially if you're Muslim, and especially if you're practicing. If you're a practicing Muslim, it's going to happen. Why? Because there's alcohol in schools. There's non-mahram relationships in schools, and the brothers and sisters watching probably know better than I what goes on in schools. School is one of those examples. It's one of the best examples for this. So you can't avoid it. So we are facing a force here. It's like a battle. Okay, we are facing a force that's coming to us. When you're facing an enemy, it's either an outer enemy or an inner enemy. Okay, sometimes you have a problem inside that doesn't allow you to fight the enemy. Sometimes the enemy itself, you don't know how to deal with it, with that force that's coming at you. All right, a good example is the battle of Yazid Yazid, he, after Karbala and Ashura, there was another great incident that happened, huge incident, the incident of Harra, where the army of Yazid attacked Medina. For 3 days, they were allowed to do anything they wanted, to the people, to the women, to the old people, anything, the wealth of the people, anything they wanted to. They looted Medina. How did they get in? There was a trench around Medina. One of the spies, one of those inside who came out, Marwan, he let them know that there was a trench around Medina, that there's one part of this trench can be breached and they can get in through there, and that's where they got in through. So this inside enemy, okay, can cause lots of problems. We have to make sure the inside first is fixed, and then we have to see how we're going to face this outer enemy. Now this inner, the inner, give you a couple examples. I'm not going to really talk too much about it, I hope. First thing is, sometimes you see that there is peer pressure out there, but it's not directed towards a certain individual. But this kid himself goes and actually provokes it. All right, he draws the attention of the bullies of the school or whoever they are, and they're the ones who start pressuring him. I don't know why sometimes you see this happening. This vulnerable kid goes and actually messes with others. As if he's asking for it. You have to make sure that you don't have this problem to begin with. Now, whether it be for attention, I don't know, sometimes they feel like everything is going on in that circle, and I want to be a part of that circle, but I can't. So I'm going to try and get their attention somehow. All right? And that draws the peer pressure itself. All right? Why? Because this kid, for example, at home isn't seeing or getting enough attention by the parents. All right? This is something parents have to watch out for. A lot of these problems with kids is because of the parents.
So you're trying to say a self-imposed type of peer pressure?
Exactly. So we got to first watch out for that. All right? First watch out for that. Make sure we don't have a problem inside ourselves. All right? A lack inside ourselves. These kids, sometimes the parents don't give them enough time. They don't give them enough personality or recognize their personality. All right? Or make them feel like there is somebody. This person has to go, this kid has to go find it elsewhere. Doesn't find it elsewhere. All he gets is peer pressure. All he gets is mockery. All right? That's one. Another thing is, no, sometimes everything is good, but we are weak inside. Okay, we haven't built our iman yet inside. Building iman, brothers and sisters, doesn't mean I want to, and I've said this before maybe on this show, I don't know, I want to prove Allah in a way to myself that I'm sure He's there. Right? If that was the case, then those philosophers out there, some who have proven God's existence in a way that it cannot be questioned at all or challenged, they would be the best of servants of God. But a lot of times you see that, no, that's just theory. All right, you can prove God, but as long as you're sinning day in and day out, your iman is going to be this much. And when your iman is this much, it means you're vulnerable to a lot of things that happen. Okay, other things can have an effect on you. One of them being peer pressure. If a person is solid when it comes to the daily wajibs and harams out there and observing them, slowly this iman grows. This iman grows. And then when the Quran speaks, this person takes heed and can relate to it. Now what do I mean by that? We're moving on to the outer enemy now. Okay, a person who strengthened himself enough on the inside has filled in those holes and gaps inside. What happens is, when he opens up Quran, he sees the Quran says to him, okay, let me see what the verses, if I've written down the translation or not. Yeah, for one, like the one of the verses that I have here. O you who have faith, should any of you desert his religion, Allah will soon bring a people whom he loves and who love him. Okay? And the verse goes on listing characteristics, the last characteristics. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ. No scold or mockery or reproach of anybody, okay, is their concern. They don't care. Why? Because this person has built his iman. He has hubbullah. He has built his iman day in and day out. Every day through these wajibs and harams, he's built that iman, strengthened it to an extent now that, okay, there's some people who are going to mock me. All right. It's going to happen. You can't get in the way of it, brother and sister. It's going to be there. Especially when it comes to non-Muslims who don't understand us. Now, unfortunately, this is also a disease that we have within our Muslim communities as well, because the kids, you know, they've taken on that wrong materialistic / I don't know, Western ideology and culture. All right. Oh, you don't have this phone. Oh, you don't do this. Oh, you're not into smoking like us. You're not into girls like us. Although they're sometimes Muslim even. But usually you'll see this manifested mostly in that non-Muslim environment where they don't even understand you, okay, to begin with. But this person, he knows. He knows that this is what I have to do. The Prophet, in the beginning of his mission, he would pray in close to the Kaaba, that the mushrikeen and the idol worshippers would mock him. Mockery is going to always be there. Pressure and peer pressure is going to always be there. It's how you are, your reaction that counts. Alright? If you have built yourself up through these everyday wajibat and harams and getting stronger and stronger, لا يخافون لومة لائم. They're not afraid of the mockery of the rest. That's one.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
You're saying a practical way to build this sort of iman that we have.
Yeah.
It would be to act on practical actions and follow the haram and the halal. How can we do this? We're in a situation where you're in school, basically. You're 12 year old.
When you're outside of that, what I'm talking about is when in other situations. Okay. In other situations, this is what ulama tell us. In other situations, it's something you're not supposed to look at. You put your head down. Okay? You're supposed to pray right now. You go and pray. You're supposed to fast. You fast. This is nothing. It has nothing to do with peer pressure. Okay? I don't know. Your parents make you upset. You want to shout at them. You don't because it's haram. When you slowly, slowly work that muscle, it gets stronger and stronger. Your resolve, your willpower strengthens. People say, I don't know, I have such a weak willpower. I have such weak willpower. Well, the way is, that what you have to do is to exercise it. And that's what the harams and wajibat are for. Slowly this willpower increases. And then in the harder situations, you're able to, you know, overcome some of these obstacles. Okay, yes, it's hard to tell someone, all right, we want you to go, I might have said this before too here, go to a weightlifting contest and just bench that 500-pound weight right there. Can't do that just, I know, without any previous training. Same thing here. Train yourself. This is harder. But if you have trained yourself in those smaller ones, you've exercised that will. That iman has grown a little bit. And slowly, if you fail, you get up and you try again. Okay? Slowly you'll see that there's nothing will happen. And I've seen this with some individuals. Some of my peers here in Qom, who are in Qom now. Before, we used to live together in the West. I saw how they were strong. People would make fun of them. They didn't care. All right. Now you see those people who used to make fun of them. They're nobodies. I hear the stories of like some of the people that I knew before. You know, they're nobodies. And then you see some of these people who had that willpower after 20, 30 years of age. Now, where it all counts, they're somebody. All right. So it lies in that. Now that's one verse I recited. Another verse. Another verse. I'm sorry if I'm speaking too much. Another verse which is very nice. I really like this verse, and it shows that our view has to change. Okay, all right. Yes, they're going to mock us. Now, yes, if they get physical, that's another story. Okay, once again, I'm just saying we're talking about pressure that's not physical. This worldview has to change. Okay, we have to see it the way Quran paints it for us. Verse 139 of Surah Al Imran. The other verse that I recited, I think, was verse 54, Surah Ma'idah. Verse 139 of Surah Al Imran. It says, "Wala tahinu, wala tahzanu, wa antumul a'laun in kuntum mu'minin." Beautiful verse. Okay, Allah is saying, "Listen, from my perspective, in my eyes, according to the worldview that I have dictated in Islam, do not weaken, nor grieve." This is the translation of the verse. Do not weaken, nor grieve, while you are the highest. You're the highest of all. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you're faithful, if you have iman, if you're Muslim, if you follow Allah's path, then there's nothing to worry about. Yes, these few years in this life will end. You are the highest. All right? And just to wrap it up, let me give you an example, okay, for this verse to, you know, become a little more tangible, what it's saying. Two examples. The first is, you've seen these red carpet, you know, these awards they give in, you know, for like Hollywood and stuff like that. You know, the red carpet that they roll out for the celebrities and stuff. Now say, all these celebrities are coming and they're like standing there taking photos and stuff, and like someone out there is like starts making fun of them. Starts making fun of that celebrity. You think that celebrity is going to even care? Celebrity is going to be like, look, dude, I'm standing on the red carpet here. You're the one who's standing behind the fences or whatever. You're the loser. You can make fun of as much as you want. You're a nobody. Alright? I'm a somebody. Because I'm standing here. I got all the money. I got all the riches. I got the fame. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, listen, you're the highest in what counts. You're the highest. The same way that celebrity, what counts for that celebrity, him or her, is the wealth, the fame. She or he looks at what counts, she says, I got it more, so you can say whatever you want. That person who's making fun of you, brothers and sisters, in school, even if they're Muslim, that moment when they're making fun of you, that shows that they don't have what counts. You're higher than them. In Allah's eyes, you're higher than them. So you shouldn't really let that get to you. That's one example. Another example that I really like, one of these basketball superstars, okay, a couple years ago, they had gone all the way to the NBA Finals. Right? I'm just going to give this example so the kids can relate to it, so the youth can relate to it. He had gone all the way to the NBA Finals, and he had lost. Their team had lost, and a lot of everyone thought that it was his fault. That superstar on the team, it's his fault because he didn't play his best. So in the conference after, okay, he was sitting there, and the reporters, they were asking questions, the media, and they were bugging him a little too much. And he turned back, he said, I don't know about y'all, but after this is over, I know we lost the finals, we lost the last game and everything, but I don't know about you guys, for me, I'm going to go back to my mansion, I'm going to live my life. You all are making all this noise, and you know, I don't know, you're trying to like bug me and stuff and like get to me and like none of that. I don't care. Okay, whatever you want to say, say it. I'm going to go back to my mansion. You guys are going to go back to your own little homes and stuff, right? So like what's he saying? He's saying it's not. I'm not going to let it get to me. Why? Because I have what counts. And that's what this verse, I think, you know, in a way is saying. I'm sorry for talking so much, Sayyid.
So to sum up, basically, we have three main points. One of them is that you need to strengthen yourself from a society and a social perspective in an inner way, that you don't have any lack inside you that you feel you need to go and act like somebody else and put yourself with the people that are seemingly cool. The second point is to try and build your iman, because that'll help you to survive the further tests. And the third point, which is a really beautiful point, was that in Allah's eyes, superiority lies in iman. And if you want to be mocked, you have to be somebody who's inferior, whereas we're somebody who's superior. We'll be back after the break, inshallah, with a short break, and then inshallah we'll have more answers for you.
الفتاح الصمد الواحد الأحد الجواد الهادي السيد الشهيد المجيد الحميد القهار النصير الغفار الكبير الجبار القدير الظاهر الباطن القاهر الغفور القادر الستير الشاكر الشكور الآخر المؤخر الوتر المصور البر المتكبر المقتدر الخبير البصير نور السماوات والأرض
Assalamu alaikum again. This time we're going to challenge Sheikh Sayyid Kazmi with the same question. See if he can give us equal results or even a better answer, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, mashallah. Mawlana Sheikh Rasani has given a very lovely answer for it. Now, peer pressure. We inshallah are going to talk on few points, although the time is limited. But I'll try to inshallah somehow. First of all, we have two kinds of peer pressures, which we are going to discuss here, a negative and a positive. And then inshallah we are going to talk, if we have time, five reasons why people fall into the peer pressure. Your friends, your peers come and they say, hey, you are a coward, a loser, you are still a child, you cannot join our group. So you, studying in the school, high school, college, you know, peer pressure is not limited to just children or youth. Peer pressure could come in your life even if you are like 25, 30 years old and you're married and you have children. Like you have some friends who are just pressurizing you, of course not physically, to do something. And you want to do that thing and your wife doesn't like you to do that thing. Or your wife is doing something because of her friends and her husband doesn't like. So the problems could come in your life. So this is not limited to the youths, but usually because youths don't have the answer for it, the people who grow up, they usually have the answer and they have already faced this and they know how to deal with it, so they don't have so many problems, but it's not limited. Now, for example, your friends are just pressurizing you, saying that, okay, if you want to come in our group and you want to go in their group, so just do this for us. So your friends are pressurizing you that if you want to come and join our group, so you have to do such and such thing, like go and steal from the mall. And here, because you are under the pressure, you will not think, hey, if I go and steal, what's going to happen after that? I'll be put into jail. If I was caught, there are everywhere cameras, police. If they caught me, I'll go to the jail. So I should, and these friends whom I'm thinking are my friends, because actually Islam is saying that your friend is the one who stops you from bad things, not the one who forces you to do bad things. So they are actually not your friends, but you're thinking that they are your friend. If you were caught, they'll not come to save you. They'll say, hey, you should have thought before you do that. And when we do these things, we were not caught, so you are still a child. They'll again insult you, again pressurize you. And the second problem, especially if I'm a Muslim, if I'm Shia, and like my friends are asking me to do something bad in the school or anywhere, so I should be careful. I should think, if I, for example, go and steal something from the mall and I was caught, tomorrow in the newspaper, the headlines will come, a Muslim boy was trying to steal something from the mall. So actually, I'm insulting myself and my religion too by my actions. This is very important. We have to think before we do anything. Islam is saying, it's a very lovely hadith from one of the imams. Imam is saying, a clever and wise person is the one who thinks before he does and before he says anything. You have to think, hey, if I do this, if I say this, what will happen? What's the result? Is it harmful for me or others? Is it good for me or others? Or no? And idiot, stupid, and fool people are those who do something, who say something, and after that they say, oh my God, what a wrong thing I did. They think after they do. They think after they said something wrong. Islam is saying, imams are saying, Muslims should be wise and clever. You are Muslim, you should be wise and clever. Before you do anything, just think, what are the side effects of this action? If I do this, what's going to happen later on? And if I was caught for anything wrong, none of these peers, friends are going to help me. They'll again mock me, they'll again tease me. So, now here some people say, okay, so peers and friends are just taking you towards wrong things. So isn't it better to just stay far from all friends and not have any friends? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying in Nahj al-Balagha, no, it's wrong. أَعْجَزُ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَجِزَ أَنْ اِكْتِسَابِ الْإِخْوَانِ الْغَرِيبُ مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ حَبِيبٌ Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying, he's the weakest person who doesn't have any friends. He's poorest person in the world who doesn't have any friends. So you should have friends, but the point, who should we be friend with? Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus says, when his companion asked him, Man Nujalis, He said, sit with those people, be friend with those people who remember you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who remind you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're sitting with them, when you're talking with them, they just make you practice more on your religion. I remember once I had a friend, it was time of namaz, Zuhr and Asr. So I just performed my Zuhr and Asr, and just we were supposed to go somewhere after Zuhr and Asr. And I saw that my friend is praying mustahabbat. He prayed once, he recited, he did another namaz. I said, okay, why should I just sit without praying anything? So because of that friend, I started again reciting few mustahabbat. So this friend was the reason of just reciting few more mustahab recommended namaz prayers at that time there. So if you are just seeing that your friends are asking you to do something wrong, to do something which is not good, which is against your values, which is against your religion, which is against the law, so just don't be with them. Instead of getting motivated by your peers and friends, try to motivate them. And if you see they are not being motivated, just leave them and try to find good peers, good friends. And the positive peer pressure is much more better than negative peer pressure. Because in negative peer pressure, you're doing wrong things. But in positive peer pressure, you have good friends around you, and all of them are doing hijab. So you say, oh, all of them are doing hijab, so it's good, I'll do hijab. All of them are going to mosque. All of them are going to Thursday, on Thursday, going to Dua Kumail. They're reciting Dua Nutba. So you feel that, oh, it's not good that I don't do these things, so you will do those good things too. But again, positive peer pressure is not too good too.
Doesn't it mean that we don't have ikhlas in our actions?
The reason
I'm going to do anadwa because my friend does, isn't there anything wrong with that?
The reason why I'm saying positive peer pressure is much more better than negative peer pressure. It's completely better than negative peer pressure. Yeah, definitely. But in positive peer pressure, I'm going to the mosque, I'm doing hijab because of the pressure of my friends. Okay? I'm not doing it because I believe it's good. I'm not doing it because this is my belief that doing hijab is important and wajib and obligatory for me. I'm not praying because I believe that is wajib for me. I'm doing it because of my good friends around me. And if just once I go to the wrong and negative peer pressure, negative friends come around me, again I'll be like them. Means in negative or positive peer pressure, it's a kind of slavery. If you ask the youth, do you like to be slave of somebody or servant? He'll say, no, I'm free. But actually, in negative especially, and in positive peer pressure too, your mind, your brain, your thinking, your thoughts are slave of your friends around you. Okay? But the benefit in positive peer pressure is that you're not doing wrong thing. So why people fall in peer pressure? The first reason is that they don't have strong, firm belief. If you have a strong and a firm belief, you will never just listen to them. You believe that hijab is something important for me, obligatory in my religion, and I have to do that. My God has asked me to do that, and I will do that no matter if anybody teases me. I have this belief, and you have to have references for that to motivate others, not to be motivated by others. There's a lovely story I want to quote here. A little girl in Canada, she used to go to school, and without covering herself without hijab, because she was a little girl. But she started growing up. When she reached 9 and 10, her dad asked her, you're Muslim, you're Shia, so you should do hijab, you have to cover yourself. Now when she the first time covered herself, did hijab and scarf, when she went to the school, she faced a negative peer pressure. Hey, what's this? They started mocking her, teasing her, making fun of her. And she, because she did not have a firm belief, she did not have a strong belief in that day, she was quite confused, and she just thought, I'll go back and I'll ask my dad to just dad, please let me don't do hijab, because everybody's mocking me, everybody's teasing me. Now her dad supported her, provided some references for her. The second reason why our youth just get and fall into peer pressure, they don't have support from their parents. Unfortunately, many times I say this, that parents, when they go to Western countries or those who are living in Western societies, they just think about earning money, buying big house, big cars, and they don't think about their children's upbringing. They don't provide answers for the children. So the second thing why children or youths fall into peer pressure is not having support from their parents. Yeah, they face this problem. They ask their father, mother, and they don't have any answer. Sometimes, unfortunately, they don't have time. And sometimes they themselves don't have an answer for that, unfortunately. So they should go and get support from the scholars, from the ulama. Unfortunately, youth sometimes don't do this. They should do. It's very important. You have to go and ask these scholars. As when you get ill, you have to go to the doctor. Same thing. When you have any question about Islam, you have to go and ask those experts who are expert about Islam. So the first point is belief. When you have a strong belief, firm belief, you'll never fall in the peer pressure around you. Now the girl went to the school, goes to the school, and again, they were teasing her, mocking her. What's this scarf on your hair? What are you doing? Everybody was mocking and teasing her. There was a great peer pressure. What happens? She said, okay, you all were mocking me? Now just give me a few minutes. I want to talk to you. Okay, what do you want to say? What's this? She says, I'm Muslim and you all are Christians, okay? And you believe on Saint Mary? Of course you believe. Have you ever seen her pictures or statues, which they make usually in the churches and some other places? They said, yes, we've seen her pictures and her statues. So this Muslim Shia girls, the girl asks, says that her clothing, Saint Mary's clothing, are like my clothing or like yours? Now when she had a strong belief, firm belief, she was not motivated. She was not confused. Rather, she was confusing them. She was motivating them. They said,
turn the tables on
them. Yeah, of course. They said, yeah, Saint Mary's clothing are like your ones, not like hers. So here what happened, a girl comes forward and says, I want to become Muslim like you. She said, hey, why? What's the reason? She says, the reason, I used to come with these wrong, bad clothing every day, and men used to look at me, boys used to stare at me. I didn't used to like them staring at me, looking at me. Because this is another point. Women and girls have pudency, modesty, shame in their nature. But unfortunately, the outer elements like Hollywood, Bollywood, and other words, unfortunately, we don't have Islamic word, we should have Islamic word, other words, and the fashion, and these kind of other outer elements are hiding and covering the shame, pudency, and modesty of women. Otherwise, no matter Muslim or non-Muslim girl or woman, she has pudency, modesty, shame in her nature. Anyhow, she said, I used to feel very bad when the boys used to stare at my whole body because I used to wear bad clothing, but I did not have a solution for that. But today, when you said these things, I got the solution. Yeah, so we should motivate instead of getting motivated. Like in Pakistan, there are 20% Shias and 80% others, okay? Like in Muharram, Pakistani Shias, they wear black clothing or they do chest beating, latmiya, sinezani, matam. So the 80%, they pressurize the Shia saying, hey, what are you doing? This is wrong. This is haram. This is bid'ah. But these Shias, they are not being pressurizing. Rather, they motivate them because they have references from Quran, from Hadith, from logic, from philosophy that yes, what we are doing is not wrong, is correct, and the right way. Prophet was doing this, Ahlul Bayt used to do this, the Holy Companion used to do all these things which we are doing. So if you want to get away from peer pressure, if you want to not be influenced by peer pressure, especially the negative peer pressure, you should have firm belief, strong belief, you should have a support and good communication with your parents, and you should have self-esteem and confidence.
He pointed to a very nice point. Between the lines, he said that to be able to counter this peer pressure, it's not that you have to be passive and just wait for the enemy to come, you know, this force to come at you and then try to stop it. Mm-hmm. You have to be proactive. You have to actually put the pressure on the rest. But of course, the positive pressure on the rest. One, and two, your friends. You gotta have friends around you, but good friends. Mm-hmm. You can't do it alone either. All right, these two are very nice points.
And you should have good friends. This is very important. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying, don't be friend with evil people, with miser people, with idiot people. All those who have bad habits, don't be friends with them. Be friend with those people who have good habits.
Remind you of God.
Remind you
and
of God.
And to sum up the point that the Sayyid made just now is that basically we need to strengthen our beliefs, have references for them. If we didn't, we'd just move around like the wind. So one day, for example, it's popular to wear a skimpy dressing, you're going to do that. The next day it's going to be popular to wear hijab, you do that as well. So we need to reference and strengthen our beliefs back. Thank you for watching our show. And the email is going to be running at the bottom of the screen just now. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
ناديت باسمك يا إلهي ناديت باسمك يا إلهي ضارعا إن لم تجرني فمن يجير بكائي. أنت الكريم فلا تدعني تائها، فلقد عنيت من العباد النائي. مالي مالي سوى أعتاب جودك موئل، فلئن طردت فمن سواك دوائي. فلقد رجوتك يا إلهي غارعا، فلقد رجوتك يا إلهي ضارعا بمحمد ألا تخيب رجائي، بمحمد بمحمد لا تخيب رجائي.